Support comes from Sunday Morning Cafe, presenting Resilience and Creativity, a concert and interview with Royce Martin, creator of Swag Time, and resilience researcher Dr. Tom Wagner on August 2nd, SundayMorningCafe.com.
From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Tuesday, May 5th. I'm Abby Larico. The Missouri Department of Corrections is developing new training programs to better prepare inmates for jobs once they're released.
This program has definitely made it to where they have to acknowledge that we're more than just a criminal. Like, we have these artistic abilities and we actually have some substance to us as a person.
The story behind the new tattoo apprenticeship program at the Department of Corrections coming up after this news on The Gateway. Ferguson leaders rejected a plan last night to provide tax incentives for a proposed redevelopment that could include a renovated data center. As St. Louis Public Radio's Chad Davis reports, this comes after almost 2 months of contentious debate between residents and members of the council.
The plan would have issued up to $22 billion to acquire the former Emerson campus and lease it to developer SSL Investments. The city also had plans to provide 15 years' worth of tax abatements to the company. Developers say they want to make the center a multi-use innovation hub. But the plan has been met with controversy from residents with concerns about everything from the environment to utility bills to a lack of economic benefits in the community. Ferguson resident Melanie Marie hopes the city can use the Emerson campus differently.
To feel heard just represents a change here in Ferguson. 12 years in my residency, for once I feel like the people are heard.
It's not clear what will happen to the campus next. I'm Chad Davis, St. Louis Public Radio.
Staying weather aware got a little confusing yesterday. The city of St. Louis says its outdoor warning sirens went off unnecessarily around 1:30 p.m. Monday. A spokesman for Mayor Kara Spencer says there appears to have been a technical issue with the system, but didn't have any more details. The St. Louis Fire Department, which is in charge of siren activation, did not immediately provide any information either. The fire department had previously announced it was canceling its regularly scheduled testing of the sirens because there was a chance of severe weather. There were thunderstorms in the area, but no active weather warnings when the sirens briefly sounded. The outdoor warning system has been the subject of intense scrutiny since last May's EF3 tornado. The sirens didn't sound the day of the storm, and even if they had been activated, more than a third of them weren't working. St. Louis's congressional delegation is trying to get a handle on local mail service. Democratic Congressman Wesley Bell is backing legislation requiring the United States Postal Service to submit a congressional report about mail and package delivery service performance in the St. Louis region. Bell says that erratic mail service is hurting people in the area, pointing to specific examples of people not receiving medication or money on time.
We have to make sure that they have the resources they need, but we got to start with knowing where those deficiencies are and how to address them.
Along with Bell, Missouri Republican Representative Ann Wagner and Illinois Democratic Representative Nikki Budzinski are also supporting requiring a St. Louis region report from the Postal Service. STLPR's Jason Rosenbaum also caught up with Representative Bell on last week's landmark Supreme Court decision gutting a part of the Voting Rights Act. Bell says that he's concerned about Republican efforts to draw him out of office.
The U.S. Supreme Court's ruling to declare a Louisiana congressional map unconstitutional could give the green light for Missouri Republicans to transform Bell's district into a GOP-leaning seat. Bell says people in his heavily Democratic St. Louis and St. Louis County-based district deserve representation, especially African Americans who have faced historic discrimination.
Whenever we see politicians selecting their voters as opposed to voters selecting their politicians, I think that is inherently a problem and against our democratic values.
Missouri Republicans will likely not redraw the state's congressional map this year because they do not have enough members in the House to make the map go into effect right away. I'm Jason Rosenbaum, St. Louis Public Radio.
The Planned Parenthood Great Rivers Clinic in Fairview Heights, along with other providers in southern Illinois, can once again dispense an abortion medication. That's after a U.S. Supreme Court decision this week. St. Louis Public Radio's Sarah Fenton reports the Metro East Health Center had paused telemedicine appointments for mifepristone over the weekend following a lower court order.
A federal court ruling Friday had blocked nationwide access to the pill by mail or telehealth. The case, brought by the state of Louisiana, argued mailing the medication violates the state's abortion ban. But the Supreme Court has now temporarily put that decision on hold. A spokeswoman from Planned Parenthood Great Rivers says the clinic's back to prescribing mifepristone through telemedicine appointments. The clinic only prescribes the pill through telemedicine to those with an Illinois license who are physically in the state. Mifepristone is commonly prescribed with another pill, misoprostol, to induce abortions. Medication abortions currently not available in Missouri. A Jackson County judge is considering a case that would drop many statewide laws that restrict the procedure. I'm Sarah Fenton, St. Louis Public Radio.
The city of St. Louis has taken the first step in giving most of its employees a one-time $1,000 bonus. The Board of Aldermen's Budget and Public Employees Committee voted unanimously yesterday to send the bill to the full board. It still needs two votes there to reach the desk of Mayor Kara Spencer. The additional money would be on employees' June 5th paycheck. The city is covering the cost using money set aside in the current budget for raises that were never implemented. Police officers, firefighters, and elected officials will not get the one-time boost. Webster University has ended its top-ranked chess program. As St. Louis Public Radio's Katie Gravich reports, the university aims to cut costs after years of financial strain.
The university has operated at a loss for over a decade, but saw net positive cash flow last year. That's thanks to increased enrollment and refinancing some bonds and loans. University spokesperson Patrick Giblin said Webster was unable to raise any endowment money to support the program over its 14 years. Founder and director emeritus Susan Polgar said she was disappointed, both that the program had ended and that the university did not reach out to her for fundraising support.
I was never contacted by the new president that took over, and, you know, a program that even as of today, it's ranked number one in the nation.
Polgar and current director Liam Lay have said the team's budget was below the $1 million stated by Giblin. I'm Katie Gravich, St. Louis Public Radio.
Two World Cup qualifying teams will play in St. Louis in the days leading up to the tournament this summer. The Bosnia and Herzegovina national soccer team will play Panama in a tune-up match at Energizer Park on Saturday, June 6th. The Bosnian team will also train in St. Louis for 6 days before heading to Toronto for their first World Cup match against Canada. St. Louis is home to more than 60,000 Bosnian people. It's one of the largest communities outside the country of Bosnia. The national team last played in St. Louis against Ivory Coast in 2014 at the Dome at America Center. They previously faced Argentina in a friendly at Busch Stadium in 2013. Tickets for the match at Energizer Park are available right now on SeatGeek. Research has shown that stable employment after incarceration dramatically reduces the likelihood of someone reoffending. Rebecca Smith brings us the story of one new program that's helping inmates gain valuable and employable skills as licensed tattoo artists.
Harlan Shaver has gotten a lot of tattoos while incarcerated. Like a lot.
13 of them.
And he says he's also done contraband tattoos while locked up. That's when tattoos are done illegally with makeshift tools and without proper sanitation.
Now with a program like this, I don't even have to worry about getting in trouble doing it, and I can actually do something I love.
That program is the Missouri Department of Corrections Tattoo Apprenticeship Program, where inmates can earn their tattoo license while incarcerated. Deacon O'Connor is a licensed tattoo artist and the instructor at Algoa Correctional Center. He says the program began at another facility in St. Joseph in 2023, and due to its success, the DOC decided to open up a second site.
This program gives these guys to express their artistic creative freedom in a way that doesn't make them feel like criminals anymore.
O'Connor says he's currently working with his first three students. They'll spend weeks learning proper sanitation, art history, and practicing on fake skins. Then they'll move into practicing on each other. And when O'Connor thinks they're ready, their tattoo parlor will open to other inmates who can purchase tattoos for $10 an hour at the commissary.
Not everybody wants to work on coding or cars or construction. There's a lot of talent that come out of here.
Erica Williams runs the educational programs at Algoa and says they've been working with other state agencies to ensure that the apprenticeship is equivalent to programs outside prison. Each student will still have to log 300 training hours, and the parlor is state licensed and uses top quality materials.
We've realized as a department how important it is that we are preparing our residents to do something productive when they get out the door.
She says the program is relatively inexpensive. The parlor license costs a couple hundred dollars and has to be renewed every other year. And they're spending $3,000 a year on supplies between the two programs. The hope, she says, is that offering high-quality, safe color tattoos to inmates will cut down on contraband tattoos, which in turn reduces the risk of infection and bloodborne illness that comes along with them. Josh Gaines is a deputy program director at the Council of State Governments Justice Center. He's involved with the Reentry 2030 initiative, which is a multi-state effort to reduce recidivism and increase success for those leaving prison.
Vocational education programming alone, it's been found to reduce the odds of recidivism by 43% and has a 205% return on investment on average across states.
Back at Algoa, the three students are practicing their skills. Eric Higgins is busy tattooing a tiger's paw on a fake skin. He says he feels grateful and lucky to be in the apprenticeship program because it's preparing him for meaningful employment post-incarceration, and it's allowing him to feel, in his words, like more of a person again.
Everybody deserves a job, and, you know, mistakes shouldn't define a person.
The Algoa program will eventually expand to 6 students. DOC officials say they're working to further expand their reentry opportunities, which already include barber training, a cosmetology program, and culinary arts programming. At Algoa Correctional Center, I'm Rebecca Smith.
That story comes to us from member station KBIA in Columbia. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, thanks for listening to The Gateway.